You have it, I'd ask if you would please stand as we show our honor and respect for the reading of God's holy word. Thank you to everybody who partook in Christmas Apparel Sunday. It's good to see you, whether you're dressed up crazy or dressed up classy or whatever it may be. Nick, orange is not a Christmas color. Sorry, dude. That's all right. All right, 2 Samuel 23, beginning at verse 11. It says, "And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Heratite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your holy word this morning. And now, Lord, we ask that you add a blessing to the reading of it. Heavenly Father, cleanse me of sin and empty me of self and help me be a blessing to your people this morning. Lord, may I fade to the back and may you, the true preacher, come forward. May you open our hearts. May you open our eyes. May you give us ears ready to hear what the Spirit has to say. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat this morning. I do want to start with a disclaimer that I had this down on my docket to preach on 3 weeks ago. And I find over and over again, especially within the 14 years that I've been pastoring a church and the ability to preach just about every Sunday, I continually be amazed at God's perfect timing, that God will line things up exactly how he wants things to be lined up and coincide a message with something that the church is going through. And that's what I see in our text today. The title of the message is, "Will You Take a Stand?" Will you take a stand? So we're going to look at the story of Shammah, and Shammah in the text only gets two verses throughout all of Scripture. He is listed with one of David's mighty men as we come to the end of 2 Samuel. And like I said, there's not much said about Shammah. He gets two verses. What we know is that he owned a field full of lentils. His family stewarded a glorified, if you will, bean patch. And one day the Philistines came to take it away. And when they came to take it away, all of the Israelites ran in fear except for one person, Shammah. Shammah stood his ground. And what we have here in the text is Shammah being a great witness for you and for I, and a great testimony for Christian perseverance and for patience in our life of faith. What we have here is Shammah being an example of Christian strength and courage in the midst of our own weakness and spiritual battles that come our way. We see that Shammah, in the midst of the enemy coming against us, was willing to take a stand for what God had gave him, for what God had told him to steward, for what God had told him to use to bless his people, and he wasn't going to let the enemy take it away. Pastor, you get that all out of two verses? Yeah, let me explain. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, just as Shammah was willing to take a stand against the enemy to secure what God had blessed him with, we too need to take a stand in our own lives when the enemy comes to take what God has blessed us with. And whether or not you know it, the enemy is doing exactly that in every aspect of our lives. Listen to me. If you are on God's mailing list, if you're saved, you are on the devil's hit list. If you are not saved, Satan doesn't care about you. You are already signed, sealed, and delivered unto hell. He will leave you alone. He will let you wander in your ways. But listen to me. If you are a child of God, Satan pays attention to you because he can't have your soul. He wants to wreck your life. So your testimony is as such that you can't have influence on anybody else to get into the kingdom of God. And so he will come after you. In fact, the Bible says that he is like an enemy, a lion seeking whom he may devour. And when you read the Gospels in Luke chapter 22, you find out that it is absolutely no secret that he is after you. Jesus is talking to Peter. He tells Peter, look, the enemy is out to sift you like wheat. He wants to grab you. He wants to sift you. He wants to see everything of yours falls to the ground. But you know what, Jesus just doesn't stop there with that when he tells his disciples that. You know what he tells them? He says, but Peter, I prayed for you. Oh, isn't that great, church? To know that the enemy is after you. He's a roaring lion trying to devour you, devour your family, devour your testimony, devour your joy, trying to devour all those things that God has blessed you with. He wants to grab it. He wants to sift it. He wants it all to fall on the ground and ruin. But don't you be afraid, Christian. Listen to me. Jesus is intercessing on your behalf. He's praying for you. He's willing to stand for you, but you got to stand too. The battle is real. The enemy is after our life, and he's after our stuff. And you see it now more than ever. Listen to me. The question I have for you this morning is, when the enemy comes, will you take a stand? When the enemy comes, will you take a stand, and will you fight? So how do we do that? Three things for the text for you this morning. If we are going to take a stand against the enemy, number one, we need to understand the plan of the enemy. We need to understand the plan of the enemy. Look with me at the second part of verse 11. It says, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. First thing I want you to see is that the enemy gathered in a troop. Why is that significant? Because, folks, I want you to see something. The enemy, when he moves against you, the enemy is not disorganized. When the enemy moves against you, the enemy has watched you, he has strategized against you, and he has planned perfectly to come at you at a specific time where he knows you could be weak. You ever notice? The church may be have disunity. The church may be disorganized. The church may be scattered. The church may not be on the same page, but the enemy always has their act together. And they're always coming with one mind, with one force, with one fight. Boy, oh, you could really get into a sermon series here about how the church sometimes needs to learn a couple of things from the enemy. Because could you imagine if the church all got on the same message? If the church all got on the same Bible? If the church all got on the same mission? If the church all had the same heart and the same mind and the same spirit? Oh boy, we would rattle the gates of hell, church. But even though we may be disorganized, the enemy is not. And look, the enemy comes at the perfect time. It says, the enemy, I want you to see that the enemy comes to steal joy. That's what they were out to do. How do you know that, Pastor Jeff? It said it was a field full of lentils. It was full. It wasn't barren. It wasn't just planted. It was a field full of lentils. You know what that means, folks? It means it was harvest time. It means that they waited until the harvest was ripe, when the harvest was about to be taken. They wanted the fruits of it. It was a field full of lentils. And folks, when it comes to the field full of lentils, that was known in the Jewish tradition as the wave harvest. Pastor Jeff, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean by it. It means that the Israelites would go into the field, they'd gather the lentils, they'd take them, and then they would wave them in the field. And that wave signified in that harvest, they were giving glory to God. They were worshiping God. They were saying, thank you, Lord. We did the work. We tilled the ground. We planted the seed. But Lord, you gave the increase. We thank you, Lord. It was their wave harvest. They had worked, they had sweated, they had toiled, and now they go into the field and they collect and they give a sign of God's faithfulness. They understood, they worked, but they understood that God brought the resource, that God brought the increase. They came against the Israelites to steal their joy. They said, we're not going to let you have that joyful moment. We're going to take what God has given you. Not only that, but we see that the enemy came to take away what God had blessed them with. He came to take away what God has blessed them with. They wanted the field of lentils. And folks, that's what the enemy does. Whatever God has blessed you with, he wants to take it. Or he wants to convince you in some sort of way to get you down and out and depressed that what God has given you to use to build the kingdom and to glorify him, that you should use for your own selfish purposes. Here we have the enemy taking it away. John 10 says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And folks, let me tell you, the enemy's tactic has not changed, and the outcome of the enemy's tactic has not changed. If you bow to the tactics of the enemy and you let the enemy in your life and let him have a foot in your family or let him have a foot in your job or let him have a foot in with your kids, listen to me, he will steal, he will kill, and he will destroy. That's what the enemy does. And so when stuff gets taken from you, when death comes knocking at your door, when things fall to pieces because you didn't follow the Lord and you went by the ways of the world and you see steal, kill, and destroy, that's what the enemy does. Don't be surprised. It may look enticing, but he came to steal. He came to take what God had given them. And listen to me, most of us react the exact same way that the Israelites reacted when they came to do it. It says they fled. Did you see that? The end of verse 11? Did you see that? It says, and the people fled from the Philistines. In other words, most of the people were willing to just say, okay, go ahead. They're bigger than us. They're stronger than us. They probably have more weapons than us. We're not going to mess with them. They're a savage people. They're not going to stop until they have it. You know what? We'll just walk away. We'll let you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to notice something. The plan of the enemy was put into place, and Shammah could have done the exact same thing that the Israelites were doing, but Shammah didn't do it. Number one, understand the plan of the enemy. Number two, I want you to understand the action of Shammah here. I want you to understand the action of Shammah. If you're going to take a stand, you got to know what the enemy's going to do, but you also got to do what Shammah did. Look at verse 12. It says, but he stood in the midst of the ground. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. And, don't you love those ands? And slew the Philistines. Shammah stood in the midst of the ground. Why did Shammah stand in the midst of the ground? Why did Shammah say, I'm willing to put my life on the line? Why did Shammah say, even though everybody runs away, I'm going to stand in the midst of the ground? Because listen to me, for Shammah, that lentil patch, that bean patch, wasn't just a field. It wasn't just a bunch of beans. It wasn't just anything else. It was a field that was his field. It was a field that God had given to him. It was a field that had his blood, had his sweat, had his tears. It had his lonely nights of work in it. It had his long days. It had energy of his expounded in it. He wasn't just going to give it up. That wasn't just anybody's field. It was his. And folks, it wasn't just his, but it was his family's field. He was going to defend it. You see, he could have believed the lie that everybody else had, that it's not worth it, that it's too much work to fight off the Philistines. He could have run away like everyone else and said, you're not even going to win even if you try to go that direction, Shammah. Even if you try to fight off the Philistines, eventually they're just going to wear you down. He could have believed the lie of the Israelites that ran away and said, it's just a bean patch, calm down. You can find another bean patch. You can find another field of lentils. You could go somewhere else. But Shammah knew what he is standing in was worth fighting for. Oh. Pastor Peter, you could have just preached this one. How many of you guys believe this morning that what you're standing in is worth fighting for? I told you, this message was already written down 3 weeks ago. So don't come to me and be, oh, Pastor Jeff planned this out. No, the Holy Spirit planned it out perfectly. That's the God we serve. That's the God who knows what we need to hear. Shammah knew what he was standing in was worth fighting for. It wasn't just for him. It wasn't just for his family. Listen to me. It was for his heritage. It was for his heritage. It was for the future. It was for the next generation. Because if he stood and he fought and he persevered and he secured with God's help, he knew it would be a blessing to the next generation. And he knew his kids and his grandkids and his nephews and his nieces and his brothers and his sisters would be blessed by his action. He said, I'm keeping this bean patch. I ain't letting anybody go. And as he fought and as God provided, they would see for themselves all of the people associated with him. Even those who ran to the back and said, I don't want to be a part of the process. You're crazy for going forward. If he stood there and he fought, they would see the power. They would see the provision of God for themselves firsthand. And by God, the next time the Philistines come, they'd be willing to stand too. That's what our God does. He says, even if it takes my life, even if it expends all my energy, this bean patch means something to me. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Shammah was willing to defend. You know what defend there means in the Hebrew that's used there? It means to snatch away, to take back. To snatch away, to take back. You know why? I think that's amazing. That was Shammah's bean patch. But the writer says, take away, snatch away. That means the Philistines had already made some sort of progress against. The Philistines already thought they had it because everybody else fled. Philistines thought they already had the victory, but they did not count on Shammah. Shammah said, I ain't going anywhere. I'm going to snatch it back. I'm going to take it away. He said, I may be willing to look like a fool. I may be willing to be all by myself. I may be in the minority. I may be willing to go down without a fight. But I'm going to take it back. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you this morning, there are things in your life that are worth fighting for against the enemy. There are things in your life that are worth defending no matter what the enemy may rear his ugly head at you and intimidate you with. There are things in your life, your kids are worth defending and the enemy wants them. Listen to me, your church is worth defending and the enemy wants it. I'm not talking about 473 Plank Road, although I am talking about 473 Plank Road. Your ministry is worth fighting for. Your testimony is worth fighting for. Your family is worth fighting for. The enemy is coming against you in all areas. Are you going to roll over and run away to the hills? Or are you going to stand and fight? It's worth defending from the enemy. You say that, Pastor, things have already gotten too bad. It's not worth fighting. No, go take it back. Go defend it. Go get it. Because look, when you take a stand in the name of Jesus, when you take a stand on God's authority with what he's given you to shepherd, with what he's given you to steward, with what he's given you to be blessed with, listen to me, when you take a stand against the enemy, no matter what it may look like's coming against you, something miraculous always happens. Something miraculous always happens. Let me show you. Because if we're going to understand, if we're going to take a stand, we got to know the plan of the enemy. We got to know the action of Shammah. But lastly, we got to understand who brings the victory. We got to understand who brings the victory. Look with me at verse 12, the last part. And the Lord, somebody say that with me. And the Lord, did you hear that? Say it again. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Let me ask you again. Who brought the victory? Who brought the victory?
Lord.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Does it say, and Shammah got the victory? No. Shammah took the stand, but it was the Lord who brought the victory. Woo, yeah. Here we go. Here we go. You see, if you stand for the Lord, if you defend and take a stand for Jesus, listen to me, God will always show up in your bean patch and he will fight for you what you have chosen to defend for him. You see, when God shows up, you go from being the minority to the majority. That's why Scripture says that you are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. That's why Scripture says that you are, with Jesus Christ, greater than anything the enemy can ever offer. Why? Because the Bible even said it. Jesus said it himself. He says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If God is for us, some of y'all are paying attention this morning. I appreciate that. If God is for us, who can be against us? You see, ladies and gentlemen, all it took for Shama to stand was faithfulness. He knew what the work was. He knew the task ahead of him. But he was faithful to the Lord and what God had given him. He was obedient to the Lord and what God had given him. And when he took that stand, God showed up. And when God shows up, here's the best part. Who did it say won? Shama didn't have to fight. You see, we think that when we take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are the ones entrusted for the battle. Last time I checked, the battle belongs to the Lord. I don't have the energy. I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. I don't have the strength. Guess what? The Lord's got the time. The Lord's got the energy. The Lord's got the resources. The Lord's got the strength. All you got to do is be faithful. The battle belongs to the Lord, and he will bring the victory. I don't understand why we think, well, if I go into battle, I'm going to lose. Last time I checked, like I've already said, it says you are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. The Lord has already secured the victory. Will you have faith to walk forward in it? Even when it don't look like it's victorious. Come on now. Aren't you just glad if you're a Vikings fan yesterday that the Vikings just didn't say, you know what, it's 33-0 at halftime, we're just going to quit playing. Aren't you glad they kept playing? Okay, that's not the game I'm talking about. If you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, I bet you are glad they came out and they kept fighting and they kept fighting and kept fighting. Now listen to me, Pastor Jeff is not saying that it was ordained by God for the Vikings to win yesterday, okay? Lord knows, you know, those teams with the color purple, we can't trust, all right? But listen, they kept fighting, even when it did not look like a good outcome, even when things looked like it was stacked against them, even when things looked like it wasn't going to turn out the way that they had planned or the way that they had wanted, they kept fighting, and they had to go into overtime, but they secured the victory. Sometimes you got to go into overtime, church. Sometimes you got to put forward the extra effort. You got to put forward the extra sacrifice. You got to put forward the extra time. And guess what? It doesn't come out of your resources. It comes out of the God who gives and gives and gives and gives and gives again freely unto his people that are faithful and obedient. We need to understand who brings the victory. Will you take a stand? The worship team is going to come back up and play a final song. Some of you are like, Pastor Jeff, you've only preached for 20 minutes. Amen. But it's a message that doesn't need to be preached too hard, folks. Listen to me. I want to end with this because it's really cool. It's really neat. As the worship team gets back up here, you want to know what's in a name here? This is awesome. You ready? You know what the name Shama means? Shama means one who does not have strength. Did you hear that? He was one of David's mighty men. Did you hear that? One who does not have strength. Now listen, listen. His dad, it says in the text that he was the son of Egi, the Heratite. Not the heretic, but the Heratite. Okay? You know what Egi means? You ready for this? Fugitive. So, based off of Shama's name and Aji's name, which back then, folks, names had meanings, had a lot of meanings, we can surmise just from two generations that Shama comes from a long line of people who flee, take off, and run at the sign of trouble. Shama said, that stops with me. Shama says, that stops with me. My family will no longer be a family that takes off and runs away. My family will no longer be a family that backs down from the enemy. My family will be a family that stands firm. Listen to me this morning, church. Just because your family always ran away from trouble and never stood up for the things of the Lord, never stood up for the blessings of the Lord, never stood up for Jesus in your life and in your home, listen to me, it doesn't mean you have to be that way as well. There comes a time where you need to break that generational cycle. Shama said, now's the time. Even if I pay for it with my life, now is the time. And you want to know why I believe Shama was willing to do that? Here's where mentorship comes in. This is why it's so important. This is why I absolutely love what Brendan and some of the guys are getting ready to do. By the way, you need to add into that father-son ministry how to light a candle on stage. A little bit of a problem there. But here's why. Here's why. Listen to me. I think Shama knew he could stand and he could fight for the Lord. Whose mighty man was he? He was David's. He had an example. His king did the same thing. His king went up against the Philistines, most notably against Goliath. But many times he went up against the Philistines. He faced the Philistines. When everything looked like it wasn't going to work, or that David was outmanned, or that he had no chance, the Lord brought a victory for David. And Shama says, if my king can do it, by God, I can do it. In the name of the Lord, I can do it. The next generation's watching you, men. The next generation's watching you, women. They're seeing, they're watching to see if you're willing to stand up for the things of God. If you're willing to stand for your marriage, if you're willing to stand for your children, if you're willing to stand for the next generation, if you're willing to stand for the church, if you're willing to stand for your ministry, if you're willing to stand for your parents and be a presence for the Lord. Let me get into some more name stuff. They might be playing in the background for a little bit. But I love it. I love preaching the music, just so you know. Listen. Jehovah Shammah is the name of our God. You know, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, right? All those Jehovahs. Did you know that one of them is Jehovah Shammah? And some of you may be saying, well, that can't be too good because Shammah, you already told us, means the one who does not have strength. Yeah, but when you put Jehovah in front of Shammah, the meaning changes. You know what it becomes? It becomes the Lord is present. It becomes the Lord is present. It means he is your strength when you have none. Just by the fact that he's present. Look, you may be thinking in your mind today, what is your bean patch? I want you to think about that. What is the bean patch God has called you to defend? What is your field of lentils? Maybe it's more than one. I don't know. But maybe the enemy's coming against you this morning. Listen to me, it may not be much by the eyes of this world. It may not be much by the eyes of your colleagues. It may not be much, but listen to me. If you have it in your life today, it means God's entrusted you with it. It means God has faith in your stewardship. And when the enemy comes to try to take it, I hope that you will stand up in the presence of God and say, I will defend this and I will keep it and I will keep it in my possession for his honor, for his glory. The enemy isn't going to have anything to do or say with the things that God has blessed me with. I am going to use it for his honor and for his glory. Listen to me, church. It is worth defending. How do I know it? Because the enemy wouldn't be coming after it if it wasn't. It's valuable. What you have is valuable. Your children are valuable. Your spouse is valuable. Your marriage is valuable. Your church is valuable. Your ministry is valuable. Your patch of beans, whatever it may be, if God has given it to you, it's valuable, or else the Lord, or else the enemy wouldn't want it. And if you've got Jesus, you've got the Lord is present, Jehovah Shammah. What is it you need to defend today? What needs it to be? Are you going to take a stand for it? Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning as we get ready to go to the Lord in prayer. Shammah means the one who does not have strength. I know I've preached primarily to Christians this morning, but let me talk to somebody maybe here that doesn't know the Lord as their Savior. Maybe you've got a hardened heart, but hey, you found your way into a church this morning. That's excellent. Number one, that's an act of God. Say, well, Pastor, my wife brought me. The Lord works in mysterious ways. And got you in here. Pastor Jeff, I know that there's stuff going on. Listen to me. If you are fighting battles or the enemy is coming against you, listen to me. You cannot do it on your own. In fact, maybe you are a shama today. If you don't have the Lord, that's what you are. You are a shama. You are one who does not have strength. And guess what? That just doesn't mean for your problems. That also means for your soul. It means for your salvation. You are one who does not have strength. Scripture says there is nothing you can do to earn your righteousness. It says all of your righteousness is as filthy rags. Your good works won't get you into heaven. Your good works won't get you into glory. You are one who has no strength. And every time the Lord has shown up in your life through the preaching of the gospel, you have fled and you have run away. Listen to me. You have the opportunity this morning to stop it. Why? Because Jehovah Shammah's in there. And when you put Jehovah with Shammah, you know what happens? The Lord is present and you can lift up your head. Your salvation is nigh. You can understand that your salvation comes not on your strength, but on His strength. Not on your work, but on His work. And you can rest in your bean field that God has blessed you with. Is that you this morning? Are you a shama? Turn your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. He came and did everything that you needed to do to earn salvation, but He did it because you couldn't. Put your faith and trust in Him this morning. That's why Jesus came. He came to save you. He came to fight for you so you can be reconciled, so you can be saved. That's why the Apostle Paul tells you this morning, listen to me, whether you're a Christian, whether you got faith or not, listen to me. Apostle Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Stand firm, church. The enemy's going to keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Stand firm. And while you're standing firm, listen to me, wave those lentils in the air. Give praise unto God, because that is where your strength comes from. That's why Scripture says, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. Wave those lentils in your bean patch this morning. Fight off the enemy. Heavenly Father,